All you people are very precious in God's eyes. I hope you understand that. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in everyday routines, and we forget that every one of you, all of us as individuals, are unique creations of God. There's no one else like you. You're very special in God's eyes. That's why, as was brought out in the sermonette, Jesus Christ came to die. To do what? To bring salvation to those who are willing to repent and come back to God. Everything you read in this Bible, when we study it, this is the most important book in your possession. And you need to look at it from this perspective. It has the answers to who you are, what you are, why you're here, and what is your destiny as a human being, male and female. To close the book like that and pay no attention to it is to shut yourself off from understanding why things are like they are. This is one of the most critical things that the Bible reveals to us, that God is in charge of all life. He only has immortality. He explains in this journal exactly how he has done these things. In the beginning, Bereshith Elohim bara. God intervened and created all things out of nothing. Now, you can't comprehend that, and neither can I. But all of that basically is telling us that life is supernatural when you understand, and we see the physical manifestation of what has come forth out of a spiritual realm, because God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 17:17, thy word is true. This is what God operates on. If you're not operating on this book, you're operating on a false God and following false ways. And that's what God wants us to understand. Every punishment that comes forth that is mentioned in the Bible is only for one purpose, to bring human beings back to God. It's the only reason he allows punishments to exist, because man has strayed from God. All of us have strayed. That's why it tells us, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have, I have, everyone has. So to hold this book and the wisdom that is contained in it gives you the answers to your struggles when you're young, when you're a teenager, when you're a young adult, as you move through the cycle of life, and finally, as one day, as it says, how in the world did I get here so fast? Suddenly you're just here, and then all of a sudden you're there. How does it happen? One day at a time. And it just keeps going and going and going. But we have now entered into a new time. So I hope you realize that these are serious days in which we're living. And that's why the scripture says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. They're hurtful in their effect upon us. And we're all suffering from it. And we're going to look at some things today that are very pointed from the Bible. And it's designed to do what? To hit us right between the eyes and show us exactly what it is that we're doing wrong, and that we need to really evaluate ourselves, especially in light as what we are preparing for the Passover. This last year has been incredible. We didn't understand it. We couldn't figure it out. What in the world has happened? Well, if you go back, and this is just a little bit before I get into the full sermon, so I just want to whet your appetite. If you go back to what happened to us on September 9th, 2001, where we were struck from the heavens above by a foreign power that attacked the United States of America and brought down our twin towers, that was a wake-up call. A wake-up call that we, as the United States of America, because again, the Bible applies to Israel. And this is what most people don't understand. God has never forgotten his people, Israel. But Israel is a composite of the Israeli state and the birthright tribes, or the northern 10 tribes of Israel, the lost tribes. That people, where are they? Well, they are in this world. They're known as Ephraim and Manasseh, or America and Britain. Britain was given the charge to be the greatest power that it had ever seen on the world scene, where it could be said the sun never set on the British Empire. No other empire has ever had that. There's other empires tried to conquer the world, but never got anywhere close. Then came the United States of America. As has been documented, we are the greatest single nation on the face of the earth. And thank God you live in America and were not born somewhere else. And the very fact that you're here tells us this is the appointed time of our witnessing the truth of God in our lifetime. David witnessed for God in his lifetime. You and I are witnessing for God in our lifetime. These are critical days now, because something happened. There was a 19-year cycle that passed. A 19-year cycle. Well, we've heard about a 19-year cycle in the past, but it's been forgotten by a lot of people. But many individuals are beginning to look back and realize there's something going on here that maybe we need to reevaluate. And what happened in 19 years from September 9th, 2001, and all of a sudden, in 2020, we have the coronavirus, and we have pestilence. Why am I bringing this to your attention? Because you all have an assignment. I'm giving you an assignment. And if you haven't done it, you need to do it. Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and cursings chapter. It tells us exactly what has happened. Because we have turned away from God, the blessings are being taken away. And we have turned away from God as a nation. And we are the Israelite nations of the Bible. And most people don't know that, and they think we're just basically Gentiles. And because of that, they are blinded to see and understand what this book is really talking about. They get bits and pieces of it. It's a mix. But they're not able to connect the dots and put it in such a way that people can understand. We all know something's going on. But how do we understand all this? Only by this book and through the power of God's Holy Spirit will you be able to understand what is actually transpiring. The Bible is a book call to repentance. God was calling ancient Israel to repentance. They wouldn't repent. All nations on the earth are suffering because they have violated the law of God. That law has always been very important. It was a foundational principle that allowed this great country to exist in our lifetime. However, we have done exactly what our ancient ancestors have done. We have forsaken the law of God, and what we end up doing is bringing these curses on ourselves. We didn't want to do that, but it's happening. Why? Because of the leadership of our nation. And we're seeing it step by step happen. So in 2020, 19 years from the very time period, we entered into these beginning of sorrows, the heartaches that are now coming down upon us. And we can see it, and people have not been able to fully understand it. But the Bible is a call to repentance, not only to the people of Israel, but to all peoples around the world. But what the Bible also reveals is that people are not willing to repent. And you're going to see why. Now, what I'm going to do also is to take you through something here that I came across that fits right into the topic that I want to discuss with you today. This was a report from Britain. Britain is now on high alert for a new variant of the coronavirus. You thought it was going to be over because of the we're going to get a shot, a vaccination or something, and everything would be fine. This is what they keep telling us. Now, you may personally hear us. We know that there's more to this story, and we're not going to go into all the ramifications of it. But the point in question is this. People think that is their salvation. We're here because we know where our salvation comes from. It comes from God. If God doesn't save us, we're all dead, whether we like it or not. And you can say, I don't believe it. It doesn't matter what you or I believe. It is going to happen the way God has outlined. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He orchestrates the overview, and he allows individuals within the framework of that overview to make decisions daily whereby he is judging us and evaluating us to see just where do we stand. Do we love his law? Do we keep his commandments? Are we truly a Christian or are we a professing Christian? There is a difference. Professing Christians are very sincere. They keep many of the principles of the Bible, but they don't obey fully the things of God. But you might say, Pastor, but we don't obey fully either. And that is true. But there's one big difference. When we find out what we're doing wrong, we repent. And repentance is a keynote that marks you with God. When God shows you something's wrong, you change. Why? You don't want to stay that way. But when the other people who are professing Christians, when things are pointed out from the Word of God, why don't you do this? They say, well, that doesn't matter. They have excuses. They try to rationalize. And so what we see is just like this. More pestilence is on the way. That is in harmony with Matthew 24, where God says, we're going to see these birth pangs develop. We can't be foolish. We've got to realize these are dangerous days we're entering into. So it is a call to repentance. And Deuteronomy 28 is a good thing for us to reveal right now. We keep hearing so much about the science, the scientists say. You better check out very carefully who is a true, legitimate scientist. Because science can become a false god. And God is telling us in the end time, flee idolatry. We can't look to science to answer all our questions because spiritual problems can only be solved spiritually through repentance. Physical problems that we go through cannot solve spiritual problems. And that's what man is trying to do, trying to plug the holes, the problems they're creating, and it just gets worse. The problem we now face is what God warns us about in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, where he says, avoid, and he's telling Timothy, young evangelist, he says, avoid science falsely so called. There's a lot of, quote, science out there that is false. And you and I have to be very careful before we absorb it and say, oh, well, that's okay. Well, now they're giving everybody shots. Are those shots going to help? For some, they may. For others, they've already noticed they're having severe reactions to it. So because of that, what does that tell us? Use wisdom before you get the jab, as they like to call it. Better be careful, because this is the time we're living in. It's a time where much is happening, and there is going to be a price to be paid. Famines also are mentioned in the Bible. Famines of biblical proportion are now feared for the year 2021 by the United Nations Food Agency. They're asking for billions of dollars, because they say this thing is going to have famine capability of biblical proportions. Biblical, that's not me, that's them. Why are they quoting the Bible? They don't listen to the Bible. They don't walk in the ways of the Bible. Well, why are they? Because it is in the Bible that famines of this kind are going to happen. Do we believe God? They're beginning to see the effect of it, and it's affecting them big time. All right. Now, here's another article that it prefaces what we're going to talk about today. This is about the decline of morality in America. The decline of morality in America. Now, the belief in America, this came from Fox News back in the month of May. This was back in 2015, but so apropos because it is even more so today. It says, the belief in America is degenerating on the moral level is shared by both Republicans and Democrats, according to a new Gallup poll. 82% of Republicans, 78% of Democrats say the moral values of the United States are only fair and downright poor. 40 years ago, only 33% thought America was in that condition. All right, so what happened? What happened from then to now? What is transpiring that's going to affect all of us because we live in this kind of world? So we need to know what's going on in this kind of world and what would God have us do to survive in this kind of atmosphere. So what happened was that first, secular forces. Now that means forces that are not on a spiritual level. These are secular forces that are working against spiritual elements. And these secular forces, what have they done? They have destroyed, it says here, rendering any Judeo-Christian philosophy in the public school system. That's right. You can't pray in school anymore. Things have to be done a certain way today. Everything's changed. Why? Somebody might be offended. And who's being offended? Secular forces. Secular forces at work that have infiltrated into the educational system. And so it says many teachers are now ordered not to make any value judgments on behavior or push any specific moral standard. The book you have in your possession, and I, this Bible, is a book of moral standards that we are called to live by as human beings, made in the image of God, not in a cow, not in a gorilla, not in a zebra, but in the image of God, male and female. There you have a very important point. All right, it says, thus, children receive little, if any, moral guidance in class. They go to school, they spend a lot of time in school, they hear nothing about God, the teachers don't teach about God, and what ends up happening? They just go through life educated in a secular way, and you don't find wisdom, which comes from God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You won't find that in schools. All you'll find is problems, difficulties, offenses, people upset with one another. So, second, that was the first point. Second point is the rise of single-parent homes. More and more American kids wind up unsupervised for long periods of time, left to the television or the computer, where harmful material comes at them like rain in a thunderstorm. How well spoken. Yeah, it's amazing what you can see today on these different modern technical devices. So, left without leadership, no father in the home, young men are growing up. Where do they go? They're looking for an answer. I'm a guy. What do I do? I'm going to go join a gang. Why? Because they'll love me. They'll provide for me. And they'll give me what I want. They'll give me identification. They'll support me. And so gangs have risen like never before. Third, the major corporations now traffic in sex and violence to the extent never before seen in this country. Americans spend more than $10 billion a year on pornography. On pornography. That's just not male, it's female now as well. Males are the main target, but the females are, well, because there's a lot going on out there that the Bible addresses concerning these things. The fourth one, peer pressure. Peer pressure. What is the peer pressure? It actually rejects immoral behavior in virtue of non-existence in many places. The military criminals at Abu Ghraib, it never could have committed those crimes if their soldiers had not looked the other way. It says, the code of silence has become a behavior that is infectious disease among all Americans. I don't want to say anything. Why? Because I'll just look the other way. So we never stand up for anything. And finally, it says, the decline of the Catholic Church. Now, why that church? Why? Because the Catholic Church has dramatically harmed the United States of America. According to the 58 Gallup poll, 74% of American Catholics attended Mass every week. Now the number is down to only 25%. With 65 million members, the Catholic Church in America is by far the largest denomination and set the moral tone that has been seriously taken away in our society today. That's over now because of the priest scandals and the lack of leadership of the American Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church has collapsed because of that in America. And what do we see? We see then America is lacking strong moral values. We just don't have it. We don't have the compass anymore. Millions of Americans' parents are trying hard to teach their children good values, but are besieged by a terrible influence beyond the home. And that is true. Once your young person goes outside the home, if they haven't been trained on the home site, they're get ready to be bombarded from the world. And so it becomes a heavy responsibility for all of it. The secularists have succeeded. Listen, the secularists have succeeded in dramatically changing the moral tone of our country. That is terrible. And it says, and 80% of us see it as a bad thing. The problem is what? That in spite of what I just read to you folks, there is no mass outcry about it. Why aren't people standing up? What's wrong? Been neutralized. They've been demoralized. They slowly have been infiltrated by these powers of darkness that the Bible reveals to us. And America will continue its declining moral direction. All right. What we're going to do now, we're going to try to finish this up as quickly as we can, but that sets the tone for what I want to talk about today. What we're going to discuss is what the Bible clearly makes relevant for us today. We're going to look at something, and this will be the title of the sermon, Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, a lesson forgotten with a price to pay. Sodom and Gomorrah, a lesson forgotten and a price to pay. We are about to inherit the whirlwind for what we have done and what we have done to the future generations of our country. We've had hostile forces out there at work. We see certain things happening every day. We've seen the term dark or deep state. We've seen it happening and we wonder why. Let's go to the book of Isaiah and see what the prophets has to say, because God spoke through the prophets, and in the end time he speaks through his son, Jesus the Christ. And we study all that in the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 1, we begin to notice something. Remember who God is talking to. He's talking originally to his people Israel when they were in the collective sense. But then after the splitting up of the house of Israel, Judah to the south and Israel to the north, and then Israel was overpowered and taken over by the Assyrians and sent into captivity, history shows that they apparently got lost. Well, they really didn't, but they just took their biblical names with them and they relocated where God intended them to be, in England and the United States of America. So what do we see? Who's he talking? He talked to them back there, and he's talking to us today. So it applies to us. Now, people can say, well, I don't believe that. Believe all you want. It doesn't matter. This is what's happening. Look, like Jesus said, if you don't want to believe me, you don't like the way my face is, you think I'm not what you want, he said, believe the works that I do. He pointed to what was happening, and he says to everyone, you'll know them by their fruits, what they do, how they're trying to live their life. You and I have been called to live our life in a special way like no other people on the face of the earth. We're to live the way of God. That's the problem. We've been more or less falsified into false Christianity, when in reality God is saying we have to learn the way. His way of life. Please join me now in verse 2. He says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. In other words, pay attention, for the Lord has spoken. How has he done that? Through the prophet Isaiah. And he says, I have nourished and brought up children. See, you have to know who those children are, the ones that were singled out, that God worked with through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then built the nation of Israel out of Egypt when they were in captivity. Then he set them free. But he goes on to say, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have done what? Rebelled against me. Now, when we stop and ask ourselves on the subject of repentance, we have to ask ourselves, have we, as individuals, even in the church of God, have we rebelled against God? We may rebel on him from time to time, and we have to repent. We don't even realize we're doing it. Because ignorance is not bliss, it just keeps you in ignorance. What God wants us to understand, he says, they have rebelled against me. Well, our nation today, by the fruit that I just read to you earlier, our nation has rebelled against God. Now, we don't want to rebel ourselves. We're trying to live it the right way. But we're not doing it perfectly. That's why we have to keep the Passover, keep the days of unleavened bread, to remind us on a yearly basis what our mission is, why we were called at this time. Why isn't this room just filled with 65,000 people where you can go to other different types of individual situations and you will find 65,000 people And they're all hungering and thirsting for what? They want to know who they are, what they are, why the problems exist. And they hear partial answers to those things, but they don't have all the answers. And we don't have them all either. But we grow in the grace and knowledge by looking to the book that has the answers. Now, they claim that they do that. Well, you'll know them by their fruits. Jesus put it in Luke 6, verse 46. He says, why do you, he told that back at that time to his people, and he tells us today, why do we call ourselves Christians? And if we call ourselves Christians, he says, why do you call me your Lord and do not the things which I say? And the answer is, they don't want to. Now, they don't think of it that way. You'll see why when we get a little more into this subject. But it says, the ox knows its owner and the ass its master's crib, but Israel, that's the people he's dealing with, they do not know, my people do not consider, ah, sinful nation. Boy, this really now hits home for us here in the United States of America. He says, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity or lawlessness. And we're seeing the growing rise of lawlessness in our country today, and people are frustrated over it. They don't know why. He says, they are seeds of evildoer children and are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, and they have provoked the Holy One unto anger, because they have gone away backwards. You see, the values that we once had that started America put us on the rise to become the greatest power in human history because of the grace of God that was watching over us. And he delivered us time and time and time again. Because it's recorded in history. That's the story of man. His story. History. And when you understand history, you begin to understand where you fit in to that dynamic. Because you're part of history today. You're part of being what's written in the history book of mankind and how God has dealt with mankind. He said, but what's happened to us? He says, why should you be stricken anymore? Why do you have to go through these problems? He says, because you will revolt more and more. Yes, that's exactly what the survey from Gallup said. It's going to get worse, more and more. And he noticed the whole head is sick. The head is government. The head is what controls and governs the masses. And so leadership today, we're hearing reports, leadership has sold us down a river because of what? Rather taking a positive stand, they would rather be liked by everyone. God has not called us to be liked by everyone. He's called us to preach the truth and to witness the truth in our lives. And when you witness the truth in your life, you're going to have conflict. That's why I gave a sermon last time when we talked on the subject, the rise of persecution. Because people who don't want to walk the ways of God, who don't want to repent for what they're doing, they will persecute you. They're going to attack you. They're going to, and lo and behold, look at this man called President Trump. Something, he must have stirred the pot somewhere, even though he's not perfect and he's just a leader that tried to set the record straight, everybody ganged up on him like gangbusters. Why would that happen? Because there's a spiritual mystery of iniquity that works behind the scenes, lawlessness that is affecting our world, and especially the United States at this time, because we're the leader of the world at this time. Notice verse 7, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Have you seen anything happening, cities burned with fire in Seattle? Have you seen any in Portland? Have you seen any in Kenosha, Wisconsin? Why is that happening? Because it was prophesied. This is what happens when you go backwards and you forget the Lord your God. We have forgotten God. Because of that, it goes on. Notice in verse 9, hitting the highlights, except the Lord of hosts has left us a very small remnant. Fear not, little church of God. Fear not. You may not be 65,000 sitting there wondering what magic pill will solve all the problems. You realize why you've been called. Because God has called us to witness his way of life. So God says we should if he hadn't done that, we would all be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, "Hear now, you," says the Lord, "you rulers of Sodom, give ear, look to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah." He's talking to our country today. These are things to be applied. Remember, the word of God abides forever. It didn't just happen back there and they get stuck in past. It came from the past, it's in the present, and it's going to govern for the future. And when everything else, it says, his word will abide forever, because it's the standard man was meant to live by. He says, why? In verse 12, when you come, you to before me, he says, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? In other words, why are you coming to me and going through all these exercises? And then he talks about the different types of religious observances that they were doing. Add that to Jeremiah 10, where he talks about what people do today about Christmas and the Christmas tree. He says, why do you do that? He says, the very first verse, he says, learn not the way of the heathen. You weren't called to live like everybody else. Don't be afraid the fact that you've been called to live differently. Don't be afraid of persecution. Just realize God has put his hand on you and given you a calling in life, and you're part of that calling. We all are. And if that's not true, then there is no purpose to life. God is working out a plan of salvation that makes all of us the potential to become his first fruits in this great plan of salvation. And if you don't want the kingdom of God, God won't give it to you. If you hunger and thirst for it, he's going to give it to you. He wants to bring. Jesus came to do what? To save, not to destroy. Well, then why do scriptures in the Bible talk about people being ashes under the feet of the righteous, the wicked? Because there will be people who won't repent. It's not God. God's will is for everybody to be spared. But people will be stubborn to the high heavens. You read of that in Revelation. What happens? Lo and behold, all these plagues are coming down. Here's a plague of hail, 100-pound hail stone. Do you know the kind of damage that would do coming down from heaven above and slamming? And it's just not one. It's raining hailstones like that. Now, why would God do that? People say, well, you know, he's a mean old God because he's not giving me love. God doesn't give love like man defined. Man doesn't know how love goes. Love is sacrifice and believing in God, because God is love. If you know God, you know he's got your best interest at heart. He's never been against you. And all the arguments against him will never stand, because he's true and he's faithful. And notice, look, it says in verse 21, how is the faithful city become a harlot? It is full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in, but now has become murderers. The silver is mixed with dross, the wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious, companion of thieves. Everyone loves gifts and follows after rewards. You judge not the fatherless, neither do you care for the widow who comes to you. That's just a start, brethren. That's just a start of what God is telling us. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. What am I trying to do today? I'm trying to alert you to something that God is talking about in Scripture very plainly. He says, cry aloud and spare not. I want nobody's blood on my head. And I'm going to do all I can to lay it out before you. What you do is up to you. And anyone else who watches this video from other places, you're on notice right now. It's crunch time. This is not a time to sit back idly and be silent. This is a time to witness by your life how you, not go knocking on doors and trying to tell and convince people. I'm convinced by the word of God, you cannot convince anybody who doesn't want to learn and doesn't want to be convinced. Show me, God says. Come now, let us reason together. People don't want to reason. They want to believe what they want to believe, and that's not going to do it. We have to understand what God has called us to. But look around us today. The job of the ministry is this very thing, to cry aloud, lift up your voice as a trumpet, and do what? And show my people their sins. Where have we gone awry? I've just read it to you. We've done everything that is terrible. We have done things that have forsaken the basic rules. We have thrown prayer out of the window. We don't like God's Ten Commandments. Tear them down. Get rid of them. What ends up happening on top of that? Well, then we say, hey, we have the right to kill babies. Well, that's what the pagans did. God doesn't want us to kill life. And yet they are killing millions of these babies. And America has led the way, unfortunately, through Planned Parenthood and other things of this nature. And what have they done? Finance these type of operations, not only in America, but out to the United States, out of the United States to the world. And so abortions are going on everywhere. And then what was the third and final straw that broke the camel's back? The destruction of the marriage relationship, male and female. Now, it's all she wrote. You can go and do anything you want to do because, you see, we have to love. In the name of love, we bring in every kind of perversion and wrong way of living. And that's what's affecting people today. The book of Leviticus is a book of holiness. You and I have been called, and God is working in our lives to perfect holiness in us. He wants us to live in a holy manner. But you might say, I don't feel holy. Well, judge not according to appearance, because it says you are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but it is God who works in and through you to accomplish his will. What's he saying? He's saying to all of us, it is God who is working this out. That's why you're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Only part where works come into play is it validates your faith. When you keep the Sabbath, the holy days, the laws that deal with the eating and things that we call the laws of health, you're following God's instruction. Why? Because he wants us to be blessed. And that's what he constantly says. And then when we go contrary to that, he says, repent. The message is repentance and salvation can be yours through God, through Jesus Christ. What we see today is a sad indictment. If you'll notice Matthew 24 and verse 14, it says the gospel is to be preached around the world for a witness. You and I are a witness in our lifetime as to the truth of God. Why do we do what we do? Because we believe it. Why do we believe it? Because God has mentioned it in the scriptures. When doubting Thomas came, what was his first thing? He says, I won't believe it until I see him. Put my hands, Christ appears to him. Doubting Thomas does what? He says, my Lord, my Savior. But what did Jesus say in response? Thomas, you said, because you see, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen. That's you and me. We've never seen Jesus Christ up front. We see him in the Bible. And we see that these men lived their lives and were transformed. And they didn't care about what people thought. They saw him. They were witnesses. And you and I are witnesses. Not professing witnesses, but God-believing Bible witnesses. And so what we do is we don't try to convince other people. Because your life is a witness. See, you were to be a light. Have you ever hear anything from light? Does light speak? No. Why doesn't it speak? Simply because it is to be a reflection of something. You and I are to reflect Jesus Christ in our life because we were made in his image. That's why. So people will see the way we live is the way that is different, but it is a difference because of the Bible. We believe in the Word of God. Others say, no, I don't believe in the Bible, so they live their way. But they profess to be Christians. So here you can hear something that sounds so good, so good, so good, so good. But then when it comes down to it, oh my, is this what Jesus meant when he says you're going to be knocking at the door when that time of reality strikes? The doors, he's going to come and the door is going to be closed and they're all knocking on the door saying, Lord, please open to us. And Jesus does what? He says, who are you? Well, we're your people. Didn't we do this? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we take care of this and do all these wonderful things? And he says, I don't know you. Now, why would he say that? Because they did it their way. See, that's the way of Cain. Cain was... When you see the stories in the Bible, they're all written for our learning. Romans 15:4. And what did we see in Romans 15:4? We go back to the beginning. We see God made everything. Then here comes a story about a man called Cain and a man called Abel. Cain commits the first murder, the terrible event in life. But what did he do? When God called for a sacrifice, here comes Abel. He brings a lamb. And God says, good, you followed instructions. And here comes Cain. And what did Cain do? He says, Lord, I brought you the best vegetables that I have. God didn't ask for carrots. He didn't ask for onions. He didn't ask for potatoes. He asked for a lamb that was to represent the sacrifice his son was going to have to do for bringing salvation. But the way of Cain, notice, he had the same, he wanted the blessing of God. Abel came, Cain came. The way of Cain is the way to get what you want from God without doing what God says. And that's what mankind is doing today. It's false Christianity. Our job is to witness. Acts 1 and verse 4 tells us when Jesus talked about the church in its early days, he said, I will build my church. He says, you'll go here, there, and what have you, and you will be my witnesses. That doesn't mean you'll be knocking on everybody's door like they want you to do, because they want you to come and join their church. You can't join the church of God. All you can do is be added to it by the grace of God. How does God add you to it? By your repentance. And organizations must fulfill the scriptural command in order to have the blessing of God. When an organization strays from the commands of God, that organization will fall. We lived through that. We've seen that. In ancient Israel, what did God do? When the Israelites, when Judah especially, when they didn't do what God said, he said what? I'm out of here. And the temple that they thought was going to keep them safe was destroyed by the Babylonians. Why would God do that? That's his temple. Why would he destroy it? It didn't represent him anymore. Why would God say, depart from me, you who do iniquity, because you don't represent me anymore? If you once did, you certainly have forgotten how to do it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So, the book of Jude, Chapter 7, alien flesh. Let's take a look at that. Why are we told here in the book of Jude? Very small book, but boy, is it powerful and needful at this time. Book of Jude. You read it at your own recognizance. We don't have time to go through all that, but I will take you to this point. Verse 7, he reminds us again of something we should remember. And we're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, a lesson forgotten and a price to be paid. The price to be paid is the persecution that is coming. He says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over. In other words, that's what they were doing. That was their lifestyle. That's what they were committed to. Paul talks about that in Romans 1 when he talks about, and because they wouldn't listen and they worshiped the creation more than the Creator, he gave them over to do what? To dishonor their bodies, because your body belongs to God. He not only created you miraculously, he's redeemed us from our destructive way of living through repentance and through the blood of Christ. And so you who were defiled now become sanctified for a holy purpose, to worship God and be an example of his way of life. So notice what it says. It says, giving themselves over to not only fornication, wrong sexual practices, and boy, today that's gone wild, and going after strange flesh. I don't want to get into that because that's pretty heavy and that's pretty graphic. You can find that in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, and you will read all about the things that defile a human being. Those are the things that Jesus Christ warned about. And he tells us that today we are struggling with what? We are struggling with situations where it is rare for a person today to come in contact with somebody and say, you know, I sinned. I did something terribly wrong. People don't do that. They don't even know what sin is anymore. They don't talk about it. Because the secular forces of the world don't want to be reminded that there's a God in heaven that's going to call them into account. So here's the type of things we hear. How about little white lies told with good intentions? Where's that? Ah, Christmas. I know it's pagan, but nevertheless, you know, it's for the kids. We got to give the kids presents, make them feel good. Yeah, that's human reason. That's not God's reasoning. All right, what about polite swearing? That's cursing done with modified words. We call it euphemisms. Euphemisms. You don't know what that is? Get a dictionary and look it up. I can't do it for you. I got a time limit here. I've got to move as quick as I can. But today, it's wide open. And I think all of us see it. We hear it. It's being reported. And one particular word that they like to use all the time, I'm not going to say it, but it starts with an F. And you know what that is. If you've been listening to the news and you've been hearing the way they talk openly about things they don't like or people. What about things like, we hear terms, safe sex? Is there a way you can have sex and have it done safely? Well, that means merely fornication with an attempt to prevent a conception or a disease. But if you look at TV commercials, I'm afraid you're seeing anything and everything being advertised today. That's why, again, you read in Genesis 6 and verse 5, the thoughts of the people in Noah's day were corrupted concepts. That's all they thought. It was their way of life. That's what's happening today, and that's what we're up against. So, what we're seeing, that sin, which is the transgression of God's law, has been what? Reduced to just, not really sin, but basically, just maybe an issue that a person has, or they may use the term, well, you'll have to deal with your personal demons. Well, they don't realize when they use that word what's out there and what may be dealing with, because this is an evil world, and we're told that the result of sin would lead to what? Romans 6:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It leads to death. So, what do we see today then? The problem is that God places the responsibility of sin right on our shoulders. You can't get away from it. We're told in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 20, the person that sins will die. Do you and I see people dying in this world? We sure do. Why? If everything is hunky-dory, they shouldn't die. But nobody explains why death. And the ones that do explain death, they don't really mean it's death. They mean, well, maybe your body dies, but your soul goes up to heaven because you've been good. If you've been bad, you go the other way. Where'd they get that idea? Not in the Bible. But they believe it's in the Bible. That's why they're called professing Christians. They don't keep the day God commanded, and yet they want God's blessing. Dear brethren, that's called the way of Cain, and people are living the way of Cain. That's what the book of Jude talks about. Verse 11, woe unto them. Not a blessing, woe unto them. For they have gone the way of Cain and have run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and the perishing in the gainsaying of Korah. Wow, is that packed with dynamite. It's telling us that people today will do anything for money. Money is what? A root of all evil. Yeah, and it says then there are spots in our feet. Yeah, we even have a mixed multitude in the church of God. We have people who are not on the page with God. We like to believe everybody's on the same page, but they're not. We've got ministers who are going haywire. We've got church people who go haywire. Why do they go haywire? Because they're part of the mixed multitude. If they'd have stayed with us, it's because they would have stayed. They had to do other things. Why? Because the scripture tells us that. Tells us that they are there only for a purpose, but it's not necessarily God's. What will they do when a person's confronted with sin? They'll first of all, they'll deny and say, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And they say, well, then why this? And then they'll look and they'll say, well, it was because of this. They'll divert it into a different direction. And if you keep pressing and saying, why, well, then they'll say, well, so-and-so, he's to blame. He made me do it. Or she did it. So what do you have? Denial, diversion, and blame. That's what human beings do. What's the story of Adam and Eve? Denial, divert, and blame. You read it again. Who was the problem? That woman you gave me, God. That woman you gave me. She's the problem. I wouldn't have made this mess up if it wasn't that woman. God says, oh, my, are you messed up. You don't even realize why I gave you the woman. And woman, you didn't realize why I told you to do certain things, so I'm going to tell you certain instruction. I'm going to tell you now, Adam, and both of you, get your house in order. Because if you don't, you're going to have problems. And mankind has been, you know, they sing songs like that. One gentleman who was once called the king of rock and roll, he's now deceased. And what did he sing? One of his songs, a hard-headed woman and a soft-hearted man. They've been causing trouble ever since the world began. So there you have it. It's all around us. But God's word, according to Psalm 119, verse 89, it's been settled in the heavens. God had this all determined, and it's signed, sealed, and delivered. Christ's words are going to judge us when it's all said and done. But today we live in a day of age of lying, cursing, fornication, homosexuality. All today are not problems anymore. Have you been listening to what the people are doing out there in different areas out in California? Certain prosecuting attorneys will not even prosecute some of the crimes anymore. So people are now free to steal, free to do all kinds of things. Things that normally would have been classified as misdemeanors, but a crime, we don't want to put them in jail. They don't know. They were hungry. That's why they broke the window out of the store and robbed it of all its food. There's always rationalization for sin. You know, one of the big problems today, and we're going to hear a lot of it according to if this new president-elect comes on the line, one of his big missions is to get rid of the Second Amendment to the Constitution, where people have the right to keep and bear arms. Now, why does he say that? Why does he want to get rid of it? Because other people like Mao Zedong and other communist leaders of the past have said political power comes out of the barrel of a gun. That's why they all want the guns, the leaders of those totalitarian countries, because slaves don't own guns. Free people own guns. And so people today are blessed by the hand of God so that people had that wherewithal. It's the only reason why Japan didn't choose to invade the United States, but try to come together with some kind of a peace agreement, because they knew that if they invaded the United States, behind every door there would be people with arms to resist them. But to get rid of them, you have to know where they are. Isn't it interesting? They're going after the law-abiding. They want to take the ones that want to comply with the law, do all the paperwork, do everything they're supposed to do, and still they want to take it away from you because you're a potential threat. But what about the bad guy? The bad guy doesn't do what? He doesn't care about the law. And so there we have it, folks. You see, the secular understanding and the virtue and the difference, God is not the author of ban this, ban that. He doesn't want you to get on the bandwagon. He wants you to get off of the sin wagon, where you have sin. And so what do we see today? When terrible crimes happen, they will not admit, Jeremiah 17:9, that they have what? A wicked heart. Only a person who's being called of God to conversion and responds to God with repentance will acknowledge, I'm a deceitful human being. I've always lived that way like everyone else. Anyone in this room, have you ever stolen something? Have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated here, cheated there? Oh, you can fill in the missing blanks. We're all guilty. We're not throwing stones at anybody. We're all guilty. Our ship is sinking. And if it was not for Jesus Christ coming down to be our Savior. And what does the world fear? They do not fear a little boy, a little baby called Jesus. Who they fear is the one that went to that cross, did exactly what we heard during the sermonette, and did what? He gave his life for us and said on the cross, of all places where you and I would never have thought of this, he could look down and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're all deceived. They're all confused. They don't even know how to come in and out of the rain, so to speak. And so what did Jesus do? This is the Jesus they fear. This is the one Satan and the demons fear. The Jesus that went to that cross and then came out of that resurrected body, out of the grave, and now is at the right hand of God the Father. And there is what they fear, because they know that he's coming again. You and I are seeing the witnessing of the signs. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 and 12 reminds us that all these things are written what happened to ancient Israel, because they're happening again today for us. And what God wants us to do is what? He wants us to repent. He wants us to understand it's not a thing that is wrong. You can ban all the guns you want, but human nature didn't change. Could Cain, who killed his brother, and the implication is he killed him, he slaughtered him like an animal, he cut his throat, and he bled to death. Could Cain have picked up a rock, a stick, like a heavy bat, a baseball bat? Could he have killed? Well, do we outlaw a baseball bat? If it saves one life, we're told. All right, if that's true, guess what, folks? We'll have to walk from now on, because the automobile has done what? Killed more people than people with guns or baseball bats or anything else. Do you and I want to give up our vehicles? No. Why? We need them. It's a high form of transportation, but it requires you need to know how to use it wisely. Not like one story that we heard here not too long ago, a young individual, teenager, got the license, got the opportunity to go up behind the wheel, was going on the highway, and lo and behold, lost control of the car and bang, smashed into somebody and killed him. Now, what a terrible thing as a young person to have to live with that for the rest of your life. And why? Why does it bother you? Simply because of this. Human life is special. It is sacred. And that's each and every one of us. And all those people out there, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make it drink. There's nothing you can say that will convince people. You can tell them for 5 years in a row that Christmas is pagan, and they'll turn right around and they'll still keep Christmas, and they'll still ask you the next time, why don't you keep Christmas? What they mean by it, they think you don't believe in Jesus. No, you do believe in Jesus, but not the Jesus they represent. That's the difference. They've never asked that question. Well, what the Bible is telling us, we live in a world where they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. You and I are on judgment before God right now to make sure that we are living to the best of our ability. We will never be able to be perfect. We will never be able to do it 100%. So don't frustrate yourself in those areas. What God is telling us is this. Strive to be blameless. Noah was blameless, but he was still a sinner. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, blameless, but a sinner. You and I can be blameless, but we still will have to fight the flesh every day of our life. God be with us all, because only God can give us the victory through Jesus Christ. The curse of immorality that has turned our nation into Sodom and Gomorrah is telling us, get ready. We have a price that we're going to pay unless we repent.